Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. This is going to be a lot of fun today. In studios, the family from Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. Dan Abel is the founder, but he's here with his son, Dan Abel Jr., also Chris Abel, his wife, Rosalie, and his daughter, Christina. We're joined also in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. It's the business of family business, telling the story of family businesses. And this week, it's Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. I'll start with you, Dan Sr. I want you to explain the name Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate three times. Yeah, so what's the history there?
So I called the company Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate because I have three children, mm-hmm. and I wanted to have a chocolate for each one of them.
Oh, okay. So the idea was Chocolate, 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 three children, and ever since that point, you've been continued to expand. Your family's a little bit larger now. I mean, you got grandkids. Are you going to add extra chocolates to the end at some point?
No. They're going to have to give up one of their chocolates.
So when did you start?
Well, I started in 1981 when interest rates were about 20%. And that was a lot of fun because my loans were floating at 20%. So it was a little rough. And I just worked 10 in the morning till 9 at night.
What were you doing?
Well, I made candy. We had a little candy kitchen in the back with a window. You could watch candy being made. We had a large retail store, about a 40-foot-long candy counter. And we had all different kinds of chocolates in the candy counter. And I would make candy, fill the candy counter. I did have some help. I hired some help to help me because I couldn't wait on all the customers at that time.
Yeah. So you didn't start in your kitchen. You had a professional kitchen and people can come in and actually observe you making candy.
Yes. Well, there was a window in the back of the store and the kitchen. You could see the kitchen where we'd make candy.
How did you get into sweets then? Why did you decide to start then?
Well, I went to college and after college, I worked for a chocolate company that opened about 100 stores. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody, so I just worked 7 days a week and learned the business. And they actually knew I was going to come back to St. Louis and open my own.
I see. So you're able to get some of that experience.
Exactly.
And was that experience helpful?
Very helpful.
Yeah. On the business side, too, or just on the production side?
Mostly on the production and, you know, running the store. And the business side just came along with it.
Yeah, you probably learned a lot along the way after you start things up. What was your confidence level back in 1981? Did you have a lot of confidence that this was going to be the next big thing?
I was young and didn't know any better. I mean, you know.
It took a lot of work.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I figured you just, you know, work hard and it'll come later on.
Where was your first location?
First location was at Clarkson and Clayton Roads out in Ellisville.
What happened? How long were you there for?
Well, we were there for about 10 years, and we kept growing and growing, moved into Creve Coeur, opened a second store, and then we started to increase our wholesale business. So we opened a large warehouse. We decided because we were paying at the warehouse, let's find a store, retail store, with a warehouse in the back. And that's when we opened up St. Louis Hills by Ted Drews.
Wow. Okay. So Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. What's the secret? Do you have like a special technique you guys use?
Oh, come on, Ryan. You know.
Not allowed to tell.
I can't tell you.
What, you're by Ted Drews. Have you ever collaborated with them?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, sure. They're wonderful people. You know, Ted and Travis, oh yeah.
That'd be an awesome collaboration.
Yes.
I bet that'd be really good.
Yes.
You brought some samples in today with you, too.
We did.
Yeah. So how many different varieties of chocolate do you have today now?
Oh, my gosh. I really don't know. I mean...
It's a lot.
Yeah, a whole lot.
So do you keep coming up with new ideas and you keep expanding on that?
We do. With every new idea we add, we try to take one away because you can go crazy.
Yeah, and you only have a limited amount of space and
exactly.
time. Exactly. Yeah. So how much chocolate do you make in any given year or week or month or anything like that? Do you know?
Millions of pounds.
Yeah.
Millions in the millions, yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
Right.
I like the idea that there is a little bit of secrecy behind it in the things that you do, but you do also offer tours. So if people wanted to come, they can check
it
out.
We opened a large factory on Pattison in the Hill neighborhood, and it's about 30,000 square feet, and we offer – we never thought the tours would take off. Once we started tours – you know, my family and I were giving tours every 10 minutes. It's grown. We've been there about 7 years, and it's grown to about 50,000 people a year.
Dan Abel Sr., you brought a lot of family members with you today. This may be the most we've had in the studio to record a business, a family business. So your family must be very close. You must do a lot together.
We are the management of the company.
I want to learn more about the other family members and what it's like to work at a chocolate factory. Joining us in studio is the founder, Dan Abel, and his family from Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. We'll continue the story coming up next on The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I want you to imagine what it's like for a family business owner to make that decision to transition. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're ready to step back and allow the transition to happen. Other times, they want to hold on to it. I understand these things. That's why you could use some help. And that's where CMA Consulting could come in. They lead a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective owners. You probably have a lot of questions. Who do you talk to when you have a question? Maybe you should give CMA a try. Let them know where you're at and ask them the question, Dan, what can you do for our family business? They'll have an answer. Contact them for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. 314-721-1860. Even if it's just for a cup of coffee or a lunch, give them a call. The website, cmaconsult.com. I'm sure you have lots of questions. Throw it at CMA Consulting. Let them impress you. 314-721-1860. If you know a family business that has a great story, please, we would love to hear it. Reach out to Dan Bean. He's with CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Just contact Dan through there. Let him know you're interested in being highlighted on this radio program, The Business of Family Business, and the story this weekend of Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. We should probably learn about everyone else you brought with you. Let's start with Dan Abel Jr. What do you do at Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate?
I just like to help out on the production side, and then I have built the wholesale team with the family. And so then we have now sales reps across the country, and I try to manage them and keep on top of the sales force coming in. You know, I would say that I am 1/5 member of a lot of meetings, and that's pretty much my life in the factory.
So when you say you have sales reps all across the country, does that mean you guys are sending chocolate all across the country too?
We do. You know, St. Louis is our home, and we still have the most population of our products sold in St. Louis. But at the end of the day, we're in all 50 states, and at the holidays, we'll go in about 10 countries as well through our manufacturing of our branded product and then some other private label and contract accounts as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Chris is in here too. So Chris, what do you do?
I work more on the production side of things as well. I'm making the delicious chocolate every day.
Are you making sure, kind of like Laverne and Shirley, everything that's coming down the line is looking good? And
100%. It's got to look good and taste good.
And it's got to taste good, too. That's probably a big part of it. So tell me what it looks like. Give me a visual of what you see daily.
Well, we start from scratch, so we make everything there.
So did you see like mixers? To me,
absolutely. Yeah.
I think like conveyor belts. I think, you know, I'm having a hard time envisioning this because I haven't gone through a tour.
Absolutely. But everybody's seen the I Love Lucy episode.
Yeah.
That's just one of the elements we have in the factory. But starting in the kitchen where I am mainly, you have big copper kettles cooking, big stoves. Wonderful piece of equipment. It's called a cream ball beater, and that has been around since the 40s.
Great.
So it's a very antique piece.
Probably a very heavy, like a big piece of equipment.
Took a crane to actually get it in the factory.
I bet it did. There's conveyor belts, there's machinery. What else would you normally see behind the scenes?
An amazing group of people we have working with us. We have the best team in chocolate, hands down. Packaging, racks of, stuff ready to go out. I mean, there's just...
You almost gave the family secret out. You're very close there.
Well, I've been known to do that a time or two.
Rosalie, I want to ask you, too. What are some of the things that you're doing?
I like to go down every day just to see them, see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. There's always something fun and exciting that they're doing. I have lunch with them or deliver, pick up, whatever they need me to do. I want to be there and available for them because I enjoy them being with them the very most.
What do you observe when they're working? Are they all getting along?
Yes, for the most part, they are. I'm just so proud of all of them.
Christina, what do you do?
So I work with our retail stores, mm-hmm. and I do all of our wedding orders, corporate orders, special orders, custom chocolate molds, do all of our internet order shipping, and then work with our local wholesale accounts and help Dan with our national accounts.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I want to ask you this question because this is the first time we've ever had five family members in at one time. All the family members wanted to be involved. I think that shows a little bit of their dedication to everything that they do for the business.
You know, I spend about an hour and a half with the family to hear their story and try to organize the story. And what comes through is this family is very committed to the business. It's like they don't have jobs. It's like they have a calling or a ministry, and it is chocolate. So they named the company right. And they're committed also to each other. It's a very unified family, very much together, very respectful of each other. And it's amazing how they all work together. Mm-hmm. They haven't said anything about this, but they're all trained to run the whole show. Mm-hmm. So any one of them, if they have to, they can run the shop that day or for that week or however long they have to run it. Mm-hmm. They can all run the whole show, each one of them.
Dan Sr., I wanted to ask you some more questions about the different roles of the family. How did you guys decide who does what at Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate?
So what happened is Christina is the oldest, mm-hmm. and she came into the business and would start sweeping the floors and doing mm-hmm. things, odd jobs like that, dumping the trash.
Sure.
And then she would come in and help me make candy. And then Dan Jr. came along. He's number two. And then Chris was number three, and mm-hmm. they came along. So they all learned with me how to make candy. And then there is just innate in them, and they've grown themselves mm-hmm. in how to make candy. So as we've grown to a large manufacturer, you know, Dan started out in the kitchen. Christina has been in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Christopher is now always in the kitchen. So they're all utility players, so they can do everything. Dan has done invoicing. Christopher has done invoicing. Christopher has, you know, done payroll. Dan's done payroll. Christina's done payroll. Mm-hmm. Christine also does the finance, so you don't want to owe her one day past due. She'll come. There's a hand that comes through the phone and grabs your neck.
Christina, you're doing collections as well. I mean, you were the very first in, and you were sweeping floors, and you're doing all of that for the family business as well. How old were you at the time?
I'm not sure I can say that.
Well, you were helping, of course. I mean, that's what happens in family businesses.
We've been involved ever since they could put a broom in our hands or find something for us to do. And it's always been something really fun. Our friends have always been very envious of us because our parents own a chocolate company. And mm-hmm. We're a very cohesive team. We actually hang out together on the weekends. And people ask me, what are you doing this weekend? And I'll say, you know, I'm getting together with my family. And they say, you work with them all day and you're going to spend time with them outside of work. And it's very normal for us. It's just how we are. It's what we do. We're very close.
What really grabbed your interest? I know the topic of, you know, chocolate and being able to make sweets like that is kind of, you know, it's a fun thing to begin with. But really, what was your interest into, you know, being the first one? And also, well, I should say the first chocolate of the chocolate, 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 and also wanting to do this for the rest of your life. I mean, a lot of times we hear family businesses where, you know, they may have been involved from, you know, sweeping floors, but then they go off and they do their own thing and there's a potential for them to come back. But it sounds like pretty much everyone, all the siblings, wanted always to stay in the family business. Was that your intention?
Yes. It's not only is it fun, as Christopher mentioned, we have a great team. So in addition to our family dynamic, we extend that to our employees. So we feel like we're just one big chocolate family. So that has been very fun. But also in working with custom orders, wedding orders, getting to work with the customers, being a part of their milestones, such as a rehearsal dinner or a wedding, and then the customer will come back years later and they want chocolates for their baby shower. Hmm. And getting to be a part of someone's life in this very special way is really something that interests me quite a bit. And I do a lot of our corporate orders. And for someone to trust us to show their clients their appreciation is, it's very humbling and it's very exciting for me that someone puts their trust in us to bring joy to one of their clients as well.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Have you been on a tour at Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate?
I did. I made sure I got time for the tour and it was tremendous. It was very informative. It's amazingly how well organized the plant is, how clean it is. I made the comment I could drop my gum on the floor and pick it up and chew it again. So everything just is well organized, runs like clockwork. And they did have a little reject basket on top of one of the lines. And it's like, well, what's wrong with this? Well, looked at it and said, well, maybe the swirl on top was supposed to be straight, but it's crooked, or supposed to be crooked, but it's straight, and it tasted great. So I could eat the rejects all day. And I bought as much chocolate as I could carry to the cash register.
The reject. I love the idea of that. We're going to hear more of the family's story of the great chocolate factory here in St. Louis. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Dan Sr., Dan Jr., Chris, Rosalie, and Christina in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business, will continue next. Hi, I'm Ryan Recker. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting, and we tell the story of family businesses on this program. If you'd like to hear some of the other stories and the other family businesses we've highlighted, go to KMOX.com. In the podcast section, just look for The Business of Family Business. Joining us in studio is the founder of Chocolate, 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 Dan Abel, along with his family, Dan Jr., Chris, Rosalie, his wife, and his daughter, Christina. Dan Sr., I wanted to ask you this question because we have a lot of different family businesses in, and sometimes family businesses are able to achieve harmony within their family members. And I think being able to have such a large family so close to each other that wants to do things outside of work, and you still are able to have that family harmony outside of work, what's the secret to that?
We all get along. We all do our own things, and we count on each other. If we ask someone to do something, it gets done. We're down there sweeping the floors with our employees. We have wonderful employees. In fact, speaking of the employees, and we work with them, we just don't sit up in our offices. We're down on the floor. We also have a group from Goodwill, and they are certified food service handlers. It's a special program through Goodwill, and they bring about 10 people in every day to help package. And these people, we call them our dream team. They're just wonderful.
Can you give me a couple of examples of the things that people would find if they came into your shop?
Sea salt caramels,
mm-hmm.
chocolate-covered strawberries. We make them fresh daily. Clusters, turtle-type product, which is caramel and pecans.
Do you have anything that's seasonal?
Many items.
Yeah.
Well, we always like to take, at Easter time, anything you can think of and make it in the shape of an egg is kind of our thing. So
sure.
Caramel eggs and marshmallow eggs, and sometimes we'll do truffle eggs. And then come Valentine's Day, anything we can think of and make it in the shape of a heart. So we do peanut butter hearts and caramel hearts. And then Christmas time, we have a full line of chocolate Santas and chocolate Christmas assortments and a lot of decorated gift boxes. Christmas is over 50% of our entire year, and it's a six-month holiday for us. So we don't manufacture the product that much in advance, but we have to start ordering packaging supplies and planning and getting organized and getting things ready for the big packaging season. And then some of our larger national private label accounts, for example, take a pretty sizable load of products middle to end of September, because if they have to then take the product, send it to their distribution centers, and then push it out to their retail stores across the country, we're in now in this Christmas season where, you know, Christmas decorations and Christmas products like to be on the shelf middle of October, end of October. And that's what, you know, if you go into a department store, they're doing their holiday sets before Halloween. And so, you know, we do the first infill load, and then it's just, you know, it's rocking and rolling ever since there. So it's seasonal is such a big part of what we do, and we have an awesome product line for each respective holiday.
Oh, they prepare for those holidays. It seems like when one is over, whatever hasn't sold is on the clearance, and they're already ushering in the next holiday.
We go to a big trade show in San Francisco. It's the first or second week of January every year. It's about 40,000 buyers, and so it's everybody. It's Target, and it's Home Goods, and it's Walmart. Just everyone in the world is out there. And if you're not prepared to talk about Christmas, which is now 11 months away, while you're at that trade show, they will pass you up. We sold customers last year like Cracker Barrel and Joann's Fabrics and Home Goods, all places that don't have food in their repertoire as a general item, but they're bringing in chocolate. So the category is expanding. And then because of that, because there's so many options now, the candy shop is now not the number one place, with the exception of, you know, St. Louis. It's so awesome because that buy local, made local is such a big deal. And we don't see that in all parts of the country where it's such a big deal in St. Louis. We're very lucky to have the following and especially our reputation in the town.
Rosalie, I wanted to ask you about when you see all the kids working, when it's pressure, you know, you're under the gun and you're getting a big holiday order and, you know, you're getting towards Christmas and you're getting everything prepared. How do they all work under pressure?
Great. They know they have to.
If you're someone that's always checking in and making sure everyone's doing all right, I mean, that everyone's able to continue the peaceful harmony all throughout the busy season?
There's sometimes no, but we try.
I get it.
We try our best.
I get it. You have to try your best.
Yeah.
So, Chris, when you're making different seasonal pieces of sweets and candy, is it hard for you guys to switch gears or is it pretty easy? I mean, is there a lot of preparation? Do you have to do a lot of things different?
No, not at all. We have what we do down to a science and we are the best at it. We have a head candy maker who is world class. It's been unbelievable learning from him, and we're just always ready to go.
Yeah.
Throw a hiccup in there, a wrinkle, which happens quite frequently, mm-hmm. and we're just able to roll with the punches.
You can do it all. Dan Sr., what happens when you guys go on vacation? Like today, you have the entire family in here.
We do. So we just left a note on the front door to help yourself.
Did you leave the reject candies out for
yeah,
that?
Right.
Yeah, help yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't go away together. Mm. We always have to leave one person behind to take care of all the business. We also do private label. So we manufacture for a lot of companies that you have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
We may send that product nationwide for them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're under non-disclosures, and that's gotten to be a big part of our business because we have the best health code. It's called SQF,
mm-hmm.
and we have that available to us. So people are seeking us out, and we have the machinery and the labor and the people and the wonderful people to help make the products.
It sounds like you guys are very popular. It's impressive. You said you sold to 10 different countries around the holidays, and
yes.
You're international, and the demand is there. And it's all out of your location, your one location that
yeah,
you have
now? So last year, well, first of all, when we moved in mm-hmm. to this location.
You said it was 30,000 square feet?
30,000 square feet.
Yeah.
We had one line. Now we have nine lines
wow.
working all the time. And we bought another 25,000 square feet, you know, 300 feet up the street.
Wow.
And that's filling up. So it looks like, you know, we have to look again.
Mm-hmm.
We've made some acquisitions. We own Mavrocos, which mm-hmm. was an old-time candy company.
Mm-hmm.
We've, you know, helped do a lot of other things. We recently, we had purchased Bissinger's.
Mm-hmm.
So we now own Bissinger's chocolates also.
Wow. Do you keep it under their name or do you?
We are going to use part of our other facility for manufacture of the Bissinger's products.
Mm-hmm.
They really never competed with us, but yes, we keep it separate.
That's part of the decision-making process where, you know, you're able to expand that way and then you decide if you want to continue with the branding or whatnot or what would
be
most popular.
We'll grow both brands.
Yeah.
They're both large brands. They're very good.
All of these different expansions, what do you credit the expansions to? Is it just natural growth of the company or is there something that happened?
My kids.
Yeah?
And our employees. They're wonderful.
We're here one last time with Chocolate, 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 one of the great family businesses here in the St. Louis region, founded in 1981. That'll continue next on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. It is something special to have a leadership in the next generation, to have ownership in the next generation, and even the interest in the next generation and want to step up to be owners. Have you developed them to be effective owners? Let me tell you about CMA Consulting, and you should be reaching out to them. Their website is cmaconsult.com. If these are questions you've been wondering for your family business, have you thought about how you're going to be able to apply those insights into the family business and to make sure that they can be ready to take over? If you have a lot of questions, maybe you want to pick up the phone. Give them a call. It's 314-721-1860. Unify, develop, and align your family business. Go to cmaconsult.com, or again, the phone number is 314-721-1860. We're always looking for great family business stories on this program. If you have one, reach out to Dan Bean. The website, cmaconsult.com. Joining us in studio one last time on the Business of Family Business is Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. Does that mean you're continuing to expand and your growth, when you track this sort of thing, you can just tell that things are just getting to a certain point where you have to expand?
We've expanded so much. I don't know how much more we can expand right away, but I mean, we've had tremendous growth.
Yeah.
I mean, double-digit growth every year.
Yeah.
I would put it into perspective. We spent $2 million building out our factory in 2012, and it was the most... you know, biggest thing we've ever done, the most expensive thing we ever did. We were a debt-free company, and then we put this $2 million loan in to do it. Since then, we spent about $5 million on the plant expansion. Our debt is not nearly that, so part of it has been funded by the company's cash flow because the growth has been so amazing for it. So I would say that, you know, the factory itself, the technology and the equipment and the how it runs is, I mean, for example, we have three massive lines that came out of Switzerland. Each one is about the price of a nice four-bedroom home. We just put a high-speed wrapping machine that will wrap 380 pieces of chocolate a minute.
Wow.
And it came out of Italy. Always about continuous improvement and trying to make the product move faster. You know, we'll take a premium handcrafted chocolate that's hand-decorated and hand-topped, and the candy makers will hand-stir the ingredients in copper kettles in the kitchen. And then we'll try to speed it up when it gets to the packaging lines, because the packaging is always the bottleneck for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have millions invested into packaging equipment. And I would say it's one of the most technologically advanced chocolate manufacturing facilities in the Midwest in the country. Yeah.
So when you talk about equipment from Italy, you're basically paying a couple technicians to vacation in St. Louis to set up and train you how to use these things?
Our last line, the installation cost was $50,000.
I bet it was. It's always like that when you bring
I learned a little bit of Swiss German while they were here.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I wanted to ask you about this expansion. They're expanding in many different ways. I mean, they're adding more space because they have the demand that's there. There's acquisitions involved. What's your overall thoughts on their expansion so far?
Well, I did not know they'd acquired Bissinger, so that was a revelation just now. But it's amazing how the organic growth, the growth by acquisition, the geographic expansion, and how they are able to keep adding capacity and producing chocolate and sending it out the door day after day. It's an amazing story.
Is there another generation of floor sweepers yet, or someone that's ready to come on up? There is. Who has some kids?
I have two boys and one on the way due in October.
Oh, great.
Dan has a lovely young daughter.
Wonderful. How old are your boys?
Oldest is 3.
Yeah.
And then 1.5.
And how old's your daughter?
She's 8 months.
Great. So still very young.
Yes.
Very young.
Close to working age.
They make small brooms.
Yeah. So how has that changed the dynamic of your balance between work and family? Was it harder to balance those things out after you started having the children?
I have a policy for myself that I try to make every single employee follow. Our production schedule is from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. So it's an 8-hour shift with a break. We leave at 4:30 p.m. every day. Now, on the flip side, if things get really busy, I have no problem coming at 4 or 5 in the morning and get a little bit of a head start. But leaving and being home by 5 o'clock, I think, is very important. I think that's how at least we manage it ourselves.
What happens when, like, let's say you guys are getting ready to launch something new? How would you normally promote your sweets? What's the process you would go through in order to get the information out there?
One really cool thing about our factory store at the plant is almost every customer that walks in is a tourist, and they're coming for a factory tour. And so where some of our other retail stores, we have a lot of locals. And at this store, we're gaining locals. But when we put a product out there, every day it's a new set of eyes that come and take a look at it. So that store is a really good way for us to test a product and see how it sells. I mean, there's times where we've made something that is, in our opinion, the best tasting thing in the world, and it's priced right, and we just think it's awesome, and we can't stop talking about it. And then we put it out in the store, and we sold like 2 units in a month, and we're like, well, that didn't work. And then the flip side, we're like, let's just go try this and wing it, and then it's the best-selling thing in the world. So it's like, so we really, don't want to just put something into the market and, you know, slot it in our warehouse and go order thousands of dollars of packaging and, you know, pay the designer and et cetera, until we really have a good feel for how it's going to do. And so that's always our first test. Typically what we'll do then on a product is go launch it at the January fancy food show in San Francisco. And so our customer base now knows to, it's a reason for them to come by the booth as well to see what's new. You know, just the other day we came out with some awesome products, and we had a tasting and everyone seemed to approve it. And then, so we said, okay, you know, we'll make it in January. So we now know what the 2020 rollout is going to be. And the neat thing about it is it's only the five of us in the room that actually know what those products are going to be. And then when
more secrets.
It is. Because, you know, just for so many reasons, you don't want your competitors to find out. You want to be first to market. So we use a different photographer. We use a different designer. And then we have everyone under confidentiality. So when they actually do go to create art and do go to print a box months in advance, that everyone has a confidentiality agreement signed. So then it can't leak out and can't get. So we have to cover our tracks 100%. I mean, because product launches are very, very confidential.
Do you have people coming to you saying, I got an idea?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I got an idea. You got to try this.
Yeah.
Christina, I should probably ask you about that, too, if you're, you know, the engagement with all the employees. And, you know, how do you keep morale up? And it's probably pretty easy when you're surrounded by chocolate. But tell me about this engagement you have with all the employees there.
So we try to treat them like we would one of our family members. So I like going around asking, you know, how is their weekend? How are their kids doing? What's going on in their lives? If they have issues, they'll seek me out or I'll seek them out to see how they're doing. But we celebrate with happy hours. We're doing one in July and everyone's really excited for it. We do a company holiday party in November. We do a fun trivia game. One guy took him 10 questions wrong to get one right. So we said no one wants to play trivia with Terrell. But we have a great time. We like to celebrate. When we have milestones, we want to celebrate with them, not just with the five of us, but with all of them together. And that's what we're doing in July, to have a happy hour to celebrate.
Well, that's awesome. You know, the ownership of Chocolate, is, has there been, because I see a lot of different leadership roles that are taken on with your children, but has there been any ownership transitions over the years?
No.
No. Have you guys talked about it?
Yeah. Yes. So if my kids would not have come into the business, I would have sold the business.
Right.
But they're so smart and they're taken to the next level and they all get along so wonderful. And I attribute that to my wife who brought them up.
Mm-hmm.
I because I was working so hard at the beginning and she just raised them so well. Yes, they'll end up taking over the business. So there's the difference of, okay, so I'd sell the business and I'd have X number of dollars and hope that would last the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I die when I'm in my 60s or my 90s, mm-hmm. I don't know. And try to make that money go. If they keep growing the way they're growing, my salary will keep going up and I'll have a salary the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they'll eventually get the business.
Yeah.
And because, you know, transition of business, and it works out the best.
And you're still having a fun time in what you're doing.
Wonderful time.
Yeah. That's good. Dan Jr., I wanted to talk to you, too, because I know there are some secret things that go on, of course, that you want to keep within the company. But, you know, the ingredients that go in with your chocolate, that probably makes a big difference to stand out from other competitors.
Absolutely. I mean, since we all grew up making candy and working in the kitchen, you know, the kitchen gets hot in the summertime. The kettles are heavy. You know, cutting caramel is tedious. And so there's so much of, you know, manual labor that goes into it. And we always just thought to ourselves, why would you work so hard to make a product and then, you know, use cheap ingredients? So to me, it just didn't make sense. So I wanted the ingredients to be as premium as the hard work that goes into making the product. And because of that, we'll source, you know, the Madagascar bourbon vanilla, what we use, $380 a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is we use like, a gallon every other day. So that goes very quickly, but it is by far the best. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
The vanilla, the flavor, the aroma that you get out of it, and making a vanilla caramel is just second to none. And then about 8 years ago, and this was when we were really growing the wholesale division in the beginning, and we started getting into some customers like Whole Foods, mm-hmm. with very high standards. We said, we really want, we're going to make a premium product. Let's make it to the standards of a Whole Foods type company. So we started defining a lot of rules. Rule number one is that there could be no artificial flavors in our products. Mm-hmm. Rule number two is there can be no artificial colors in our products. Rule number three is that there can be no hydrogenated oils, which mm-hmm. is that big fancy word for trans fats. And then rule number four is that there's going to be no artificial preservatives. So those are the don'ts that we'll always have to abide by for our products. And then the next big thing is sustainability. We want to make sure that we're using sustainable ingredients for the sugar and the chocolate, because the chocolate's coming out of the Ivory Coast in Africa. The sugar's coming out of Belize. And so, in these third world environments, the farmers can get paid very little money. So we partnered with Fair Trade. So we actually pay more for the product, for the chocolate. We pay more for the sugar. And that additional premium actually goes back to the cocoa farmers. And that money can be used for education, can be used for healthcare for the farmers and the farmers' families. And it's also more money in their pocket as well. So by doing that, we're helping supply chain, because as we all know, the more you make on something and the more it helps you and the more the farmer, farming helps you, the more encouraged they are to do it. And if the cocoa farmer has a 1 acre plot of land and he's going to make more money selling his cocoa beans, he's more encouraged to use that entire stretch of land to plant cocoa pods instead of palm or rubber, for example, which I also learned is a plant.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you've seen this up close. Can you attest to what they're saying about the quality of their product?
The product is excellent. It is superb. I bought an armload when I went there because it is so good. Mm-hmm. And I would endorse this product wholeheartedly.
If people wanted to see it for themselves, of course they can come and see a tour. As long as you don't have other interviews scheduled where you're taking the breaks like right now. But like, let's say if someone wanted to come check out a tour or they wanted to look you up online, where can they find you guys?
Chocolatechocolate.com.
Chocolatechocolate.com.
So we've been around long enough. When the internet was created, we could not buy chocolatechocolatechocolate.com because it was too long.
Is that right?
We own both domains now.
And again, location, if people wanted to see you in person.
Yeah, so we're always typically usually at the plant on the hill, which is at 44 and Kings Highway. But we have locations in downtown Kirkwood, in St. Louis Hills next to Ted Drew's, out in St. Charles, St. Peter's, and over in Illinois as well.
If I were to come in and bring my 4-year-old son, what would you recommend I have him try while I'm there? Everything.
Everything. I think milk, peanut butter, really popular as long mm-hmm. as there's no peanut butter allergens. Someone, 3-4 years old, a milk peanut butter piece is such a, really soft and creamy. But the chocolate bars especially as well. It's a really soft caramel center. I would just go with one of everything and then kind of decide from there.
It's the way to go. One of everything. Can you do that? Just one of everything, please, and bundle it all up.
So I think it's $152 if you bought one of everything in the case. Some guy wanted to do it one time, and our clerks were very happy to oblige.
I love the idea of it all.
One last thing. When we built the plant, we wanted to be very conscious about the environment. So we put solar panels on our roof, and so our entire facility is partially powered by solar energy. Every light bulb in our facility is also LED as well. So we made sure that we're using the lowest amount of energy to power the facility. And then every single box, every single piece of cardboard gets recycled. And to put things in perspective, that's usually one tractor trailer load of cardboard a week.
It's a good deal. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your impressions on the story you heard here today.
This is an entrepreneurial family. Many family businesses have a strong sense of purpose, and they work in the business, but this family has a calling to chocolate. They have an amazing commitment to each other and the business, and that shows in oh so many ways. They appear to have found their sweet spot, no pun intended, in the marketplace, and they are capitalizing on that very well. They can only have great success moving into the future.
Christina, Rosalie, Dan Sr., Dan Jr., and Chris from Chocolate, 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 I loved hearing your story today. Thank you so much for coming on.